It's the final hour of the show at 11:02. Just goes way too fast. So good to have you here. Phone lines are on fire at 303-696-1971. We'll be starting with Francis and Jack in that order. Before the last break, before I slipped off the headphones and started heading out to the coffee machine, I heard George Brockler mention that he will have Dinesh D'Souza on his show on Monday. I think it's in the 7 o'clock hour. Do not miss that interview. For all of the election fraud deniers out there, so many different aspects to proving the steal of the election in 2020, and 2,000 mules is just one small piece to that puzzle. I was with Dinesh a week and a half ago. He brought his film to the RNC training in Memphis, and we didn't play the whole film. We did watch the entire documentary of Rigged 2020, which you can find at rigged2020.com. In fact, now that I mention that, my plan, I think, for the Arapaho Tea Party a week from Tuesday, which will be at the South Metro Fire Rescue, I'm going to get in ahead this week and make sure we can get their audio and video equipment to work. My plan is to go ahead and purchase that money, that movie, that documentary, and show it to the Arapaho Tea Party. It's just, it's perfect length for a meeting like ours. And so that's the plan. We'll certainly mention more about that next week, but be watching for that. 2,000 Mules, though, the explosive new movie from Dinesh D'Souza. Salem Media Group helped put it together as executive producers, and it tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack the 2020 election. It's pictures, it's evidence, it's data, it's jaw-dropping. And Dinesh, some of the insights that he shared with us about how this movie came together and how much more information there is out there is unbelievable. If you did not get tickets to the nationwide theatrical release, which is happening next week here in Denver, I think they're sold out, but you can still see 2,000 Mules by going to 2000mules.com, 2000mules.com. It will start streaming live 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, that's 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, on May the 7th. It's the movie that President Trump calls a real blockbuster. And during this initial premiere on May the 7th online at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, you'll have Q&A with Dinesh D'Souza, Eric Metaxas, Larry Elder, and so many others who are in the movie, who know about the movie. For all of you election fraud doubters out there, set the machines aside for now and start looking at the actual evidence. It's incredible. And 2000mules.com will be one place to go. So really looking forward to the interview that George will do with Dinesh, 7 o'clock on Monday. I know he is an election fraud skeptic, an election fraud skeptic denier. He's also a brilliant attorney and cross-examiner. So I imagine he'll have some great questions for Dinesh. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, let's start with Francis in Denver. Francis, look, I think you were online. Did you listen to the 10-minute exposition by Dr. Naomi Wolf on the jab and its impact on our military women?
Yes. I wanted to tell you, you know, the top virologists over all the virologists in the whole world. Now, this is out of Preparation of the Great Tribulation Era Peace, John Leary. And this is a news article that he has in there, says that after examining what the, you know, the ingredients for the COVID-19 shot, there is no chance for survival at all. Then there's Joni Daystar, COVID-19 doctors. They're saying everybody should be alive. Nobody should be dead. And the shot wasn't ready. The prescriptions they had already were do it. And they're pressing charges. They're pressing more charges. And then they predict 2 years after the shot, this thing is going to start taking place. Well, I understand your immune system is just going to, I'm not sure, keep on work, not stopping. And it's just going to, and there's more shots than that, your flu shots, and just, it's all sorts of things in there, all that information down. Now, I'm being accused of a crime, and I can't get help from any legal thing, you know, but I saw on TV, and I was thinking, man, I got to go to the President of the United States and seek amnesty, which I'm pretty sure I would get. But then I saw on TV where there's, where if you're being accused or convicted of a crime, which I'm already have crimes, and I'm innocent. And these people, our organization, whoever they were, it's on Channel 12, the People's Channel, will go, I guess, the full length to prove your innocence. And I can't get any help there. I'm going into court not too far from now.
Well, Francis, I'm going to put a stop. I don't want you talking about court or crimes that you've been accused of or anything else. Thank you for waiting, and thank you for weighing in here on 710 KNUS. I really do appreciate it. I don't know about what's going to happen in 2 years. I don't know what the long-term consequences are for people who have taken this jab. We know people in our own lives who've popped up with blood clots and mini strokes and heart inflammation. A young woman I mentioned earlier, an athlete, Olympic-level athletics, virtually was on her deathbed because of inflammation in her heart, and she was forced to take the jab by a former employer, and it was recommended because of a health issue that she had had. I mentioned Jose Manriquez, the Denver police officer who can't walk. I mean, we already have the evidence before us. They're suppressing it. They're hiding it. They're keeping it from us. Just be very, very careful. Don't listen to the propaganda. Do some research of your own. Go outside of the normal channels. And man, oh man, it's just so scary. And I referred to the disease that Jose Manriquez has been diagnosed with as Guillain-Barré. And a nice lady called in and said, "Hey, dummy, it's pronounced Guillain-Barré, Guillain-Barré." So all I can say is Guillain. Is it my fault that the French don't know how to speak English? But I will try to remember Guillain-Barré when I talk about that syndrome. We're going to be seeing it popping up more and more from people who've subjected themselves to the jab. It's just terrifying. All right, Jack's on the line. Let's go there. Jack, good morning.
Yeah, Randy, I heard a quick blurb on the TV. I was in Evergreen last night, so I had the TV on this morning. But anyway, apparently the border, Texas and Arizona have found something in the Constitution. I don't know if it's within the 10th Amendment or where it is on the states' rights, where they are entitled to protect their borders against invasion. And when you have a situation like you have now, where under the immigration stuff, they're ignoring it, but they're not allowed to leave the states vulnerable if they're being invaded, and they're going to run with that. So I'm asking you to look into it.
Well, there's an awful lot that comes my way. I don't know how much I can dig into or how much I can do about so much of it. My plate is pretty darn full, but it's just terrifying what's going on. And I was really pleased and impressed with Ken Buck's undressing of Alejandro Mayorkas, the border czar, who is presiding over the worst open borders crisis in the history of the United States of America. It's incredible.
But how, other than voting them out of office, the only legal provision you have to make the executive branch enforce the existing immigration laws would be a writ of mandamus through the courts to make them perform. But you went with that. How long would that take? 3 years?
Yeah, you got to hope that border state governors, Florida, Texas, others will simply start creating their own enforcement mechanisms. We hear that that's happening in Texas. You never know how much is talk and election chatter and how much is actually happening. But this is incredible. 2 million illegals in our country. Unknown how many of those are child molesters, rapists, or terrorists. And this administration thinks, well, we inherited this problem. They inherited a virtually secure border and one that was within weeks of also having a secure barrier. And it's absolutely outrageous. Jack, it's always – hey, Jack, since you're a regular caller – to at least a couple of shows still on 710 KNUS. This Dick Wadhams thing, he refused to come in when I said I wouldn't take calls. You wouldn't have him in?
He's a non-entity as far as I'm concerned. I can't think of a single thing he's done that's been to any – he's a lay down.
Well, he's also a voice with a tremendous amount of experience. He has gotten some prominent Republicans elected, and he does editorials where he calls, people like me or John Eastman or others, conspiracists or criminals and that sort of thing. So I think it'd
Who's
be an
the last
interesting
one
debate.
He got elected?
Oh, gosh, that's been a while. No question. Okay. But all right,
yeah,
Jack.
Well,
I appreciate your call.
Bye.
Well, Jack's the first. Every text, and I mean there's been a bunch, have said, yeah, please get him in, do the one-on-one. And so I will extend that invitation. But I said I would read this. I don't know if I should, but I'm going to. This was the last email that I got from Dick Wadhams yesterday, apparently, after, you know, I had told him, look, we're a talk show. I'm not going to promise to not take calls or texts. And then he sent me an email saying it's, you know, basically a deal breaker. I didn't see that one, but here was the final email. Randy, your lack of response to my last message sent to you yesterday, more than 24 hours ago, makes me assume that you insist on having your fellow conspiracy cultists call into the show rather than you and I having a straightforward one-on-one conversation. Since apparently this is your decision, I will not be on the show tomorrow. So it's just so interesting to get an insight. And you know, this is not exposing a private conversation as far as I'm concerned. Nobody asked for these to be private. And this is no different than what is written in the newspaper about folks like me and apparently folks like you. I guess it's unimportant to Dick that, you know, the activist base, the people who actually take the time to fuel the energy in the Republican Party and take the thankless volunteer positions of being, you know, county chairs and vice chairs and secretaries and bonus members and participating on the Republican Central Committee, I guess it means nothing to him that, you know, when they chose their last Republican National Committee man, that they elected me with more votes than the next two candidates behind. And the next two candidates were very prominent Republicans, former U.S. Senate candidate Eli Bremer, a former county chair, Bill, what's your last name? I'll think of it in just a second. But the former minority leader of or the majority leader when the last time the Republicans held the Colorado State Senate, Bill Cadman. And, you know, more votes than the two of them combined. And apparently that makes you a cultist. That makes you someone who is worthy of derision rather than actually taking a minute. And instead of following the mainstream media, the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine party line, and actually looking into some of the evidence, again, set aside the machines. If you don't want to spend time looking at the reports that were put together after Tina Peters bravely took a, that's all she did. I know there's allegations about identity theft, and we still don't have the information on what sustains that charge. Hopefully we'll have it soon. And I'm not denying that, you know, there's information out there. We shall see. But what she ultimately did was took a forensic copy of a voting machine and preserved it so she could compare it to what happens after the state comes in and does their so-called trusted build. And there are now three detailed scientific reports from non-political, non-zealot computer experts, cyber experts, that you can see and read. And the third report appears to show actual votes being changed in an amount sufficient to change a local election. But you can't even talk about it. You're a conspiracist. But setting all that aside, all you got to do is look at the laws that were changed, the constitutional laws that were violated, the unconstitutional laws that were implemented, on and on and on. Plenty of time for that another day. And I know we've got callers. Please be patient, because I'm really looking forward to a conversation with Republican gubernatorial candidate Heidi Ganahl, who will join us next right here on 710 KNUS. All right, here I am, 1122. Not a bad-looking day outside. We may get all the way to 65. Cannot wait to join the grandson, eldest grandson, all of three, at the motocross races with his mom and dad. We got the dirt bikes ready. Maybe get out and do some training rides with this little motor monster tomorrow. Very excited about that. So good to have you here. 303-696-1971 is the number. It's been a very busy show, all kinds of topics. But I've really been looking forward to my first conversation with Heidi Ganahl as the Republican, one of the Republican gubernatorial candidates. We've had many other conversations. She's been the conversations. She's been the University of Colorado Board of Regent, the only statewide elected Republican in a while. And, you know, has been doing good work there. But she's an author and an entrepreneur, and she's been touring the state for, gosh, darn near a year now. And this is her first time on Wake Up with Randy Corporon as a gubernatorial candidate. Glad to have her. Good morning, Heidi.
Hi, Randy. Thanks for having me.
It's a real pleasure. And when we were talking last night, or at least texting, about maybe getting you on, I loved that you were going to the theater. And when I found out who you went to see, let's start there. What a kind of an evening was that last night?
Oh, it was great fun. We went to see Joe Rogan, and it was quite a performance. I tell you, free speech was on full display there. We had a lot of fun.
I'll bet. And they locked up your cell phones, right? No recordings, no.
They didn't want anybody recording that. There were four or five comedians, and they let loose quite a bit about free speech and cancel culture and all the things going on. But you know what my favorite part was everybody having to lock up their cell phones in those little bags. We had to talk to each other, and we had to get to know our neighbors, and we had fun just waiting for the show and, you know, it just enjoying conversation for a change instead of keeping our nose buried in the cell phone.
Isn't that fascinating? Because, you know, if I'm at the RNC meetings or our Rappo Tea Party meetings or whatever, so often you'll see people are listening because they'll look up or they'll respond if they hear something, but they've also got their head on that screen. You know, who's texting me? What news am I missing? And, man, we just miss the actual moments and experiences that are available out there to us. So that's pretty interesting. Any insights from Joe Rogan on, for instance, Twitter and the Elon Musk buyout or any of that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. He had commentary on a lot, but he's pretty good friends with Elon Musk and was talking about how excited he was that Elon had taken over Twitter. And I'm excited, too. I mean, I've been focused on free speech at University of Colorado for a while. And one of my favorite accomplishments there was getting rid of safe spaces on our university campuses across Colorado. I worked with a young student leader there, Marcus, who ended up going to work for Turning Point eventually. And then I brought him back to Colorado to help me on my campaign. But he got elected CU student body president the same year I got elected regent first. And we got all kinds of stuff done working from the student perspective and the faculty and administrative perspective around free speech and academic freedom. And bringing civics back, you know, just that good old basic stuff.
Before we jump in and talk about your race and if you become the nominee, how you would beat Jared Polis around here, not today on today's show, but apparently at 710 KNUS, there's been a ton of talk about Danielle Neuschwanger and her apparent, at least, conversation about running now that she was defeated in the Republican Assembly. Running as an American Constitutional Party governor candidate, and I want to dwell on this. Obviously, you've got your own race to run, but any comments on that?
You know, I just think, gosh, we've got such a battle ahead, and we absolutely can win this thing, but we've got to play a pretty good game, like almost a perfect game. And in order to do that, we've got to come together as a party and support each other. And, you know, I believe Danielle believes in the principles that we hold and that we share. And I hope that she'll join us in our effort to take back our state to beat Jared Polis. And running on a third party isn't going to help that.
It's very, very interesting to go to your website. Before you came on, I always like to pop up websites and, you know, social media, see what people are talking about. First thing that popped up on your website, HeidiForGovernor.com, HeidiForGovernor.com, was Polis's 2022 election funding. That's on your landing page. Talk about that a minute.
Well, we're going to highlight the amount of money that he puts into his politics, because one of the things that we've got to shout from the rooftops is that this is an election, not an auction. Jared Polis seems to think it's an auction, and he put over $24 million into the race last time, and he's told people he'll put in over $70 million if he has to this time, because I truly believe he's running for president. But he's such an out-of-touch failure, Randy, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but he's just done some terrible things to our state, and I can't believe that I am saying that Colorado has one of the highest violent crime rates, rise in violent crime rates in the nation, or that we have the highest auto theft, that we have one of the highest teen suicide rates in the country, highest drug addiction rate for our kids. We have some of the most out-of-control cost of living increases here in Colorado, and small businesses have been crushed. He's destroyed our energy industry. You know, the list goes on. And I don't want to wake up in 5 or 10 years and think I could have done something and didn't, so that my kids can stay here and my grandkids can stay here. You were just talking about going out with your grandson tomorrow, and I want to do that too. I want them to stay in Colorado. And the way it's going right now, none of us are going to want to stay in Colorado.
Just think how it was here in Colorado before COVID and the governor's reaction to that horrible period when our unemployment was, in the top 4 or 5. We were just still doing well as a state. And now these policies, these shutdowns, this crushing of small business, we're in the bottom 15 of the nation here in Colorado with our beautiful lifestyle, our beautiful surroundings, and our abundant natural resources, and people still pouring in, driving up the cost of homes and everything else, and yet we are performing miserably. That starts at the top.
It does. And, I call him election year Jared, because obviously he's shifting his narrative right now and he's trying to run from his record. But one of the most important things I think that was not highlighted during COVID was that we had the highest nursing home death rate in the country. In the country, like up there with Cuomo in November and December of 2020. And it was because Jared Polis did a backroom deal to buy some bad testing kits from a donor-related entrepreneur. And the list goes on and on. I mean, he passed the fentanyl bill, and now he's against it. He tried to kill Tabor, and now he's giving us refunds. He passed the gas tax, and now he's giving us a 2% reprieve until after the election. And this is one of the worst things. Oh, there's so many worse things. But he grew the government by over 25% since he got in. He's added 4,000 full-time employees and increased our spending by a third and brought in 83 new taxes and fees. And then to top it all off, he signs the most disgusting abortion bill in the country. So, the list goes on and on.
Family Leave Act will be crushing small businesses as its implementation begins. It's just ridiculous. Before we talk about, maybe the top two or three issues you intend to run on, I want to get back to this money thing. And you've done, you've raised some good money. You're one of the higher fundraisers in all of these major races. And that's terrific. But when you're talking about someone with virtually unlimited resources, and we know, Colorado is where the blueprint was created and implemented, the way dark money works. Is there a way to overcome this incredible unequal amount of funding? I assume if you're the nominee, there'll be more money available. And, I've always heard that it's not who has the most money. It's having enough money to push back. But how do you do that? You've created businesses. You've been very successful. So you must have some ideas.
I do, Randy. And the most important thing is that I beat the blueprint a few years ago. I ran against Alice Madden, who is one of the right-hand people to Jared Polis and the other billionaires that flipped our state. And I won statewide in a year that I shouldn't have, when Hillary Clinton and Michael Bennett won by several points. And how I did that was I built a great team, which I've got a great team now. We even brought in some folks from the Glenn Youngkin race in Virginia to help us. We got to raise a lot of money, but to your point, we're not going to outraise Jared Polis most likely, but we've got to have enough money to get our message out there, to be all over the state. And we're going to make it fun to be a Republican again. We're trying to do that right now. We're hosting rallies. We have music. We're having fun. We're making it playful and getting people excited about the prospect of flipping our state back. And then finally, we've got to have a message that resonates with the 44% of voters who are unaffiliated. And that's where my messaging comes in. And it's not hard to find something that we all agree on. It's our kids, first and foremost. They are really struggling right now. We've got to fund the student, not the system, so that parents have power again to get their kids into different options for education, because the public schools aren't working right now. So I think 40% of our kids across Colorado can read, write, or do math at grade level. And we just saw in Denver Public Schools, the numbers are miserable for kids that are African-American and Hispanic, like 5% can read at grade level. So our kids are first priority. Then we've got to address the skyrocketing crime. And we've also got to address the out of control cost of living here. And finally, get our energy industry back to work so that we're not buying oil and gas from Russia and Iran and Venezuela.
So many of those issues are the kinds of issues that resonate with folks who maybe have historically voted Democrat, due to social issues, maybe their position on abortion or other things. But they see now, the evidence is so clear. The left has self-identified what they really believe, where they want to take the country. We can see it on a national level in just the last year and 3 or 4 months under Biden administration and full Democrat control. And then right here in the state, you know, you can come out, you know, as you approach election season and start talking differently. Somebody complained to me the other day, and I didn't hear it, but I guess George Brockler said something about Jared Polis is running as a Republican. Well, I think what Jared meant is that he understands that our positions on the issues are compelling to Coloradans. And so he's trying to co-opt some of those and make people forget about his horrible, horrific record over the last couple of years.
Well, that's totally spot on, Randy. And here's the thing. We don't have to compromise our values. We don't have to give on the issues that we care about. You know, I am a strong supporter of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. My dad was a reserve police officer, and I'm a proud gun owner. We can support free markets, free enterprise, and we can get rid of mandates on businesses. I say that the only thing that I will mandate as governor is freedom. I don't agree with forcing people to make decisions about their lives, their business, their families that they don't agree with. And then finally, you know, I am a fiscal hawk. I led the initiative No on Prop CC to protect Tabor. And at CU, I've been all about trying to be transparent about where the money is, the administrative bloat, and how to make it affordable again for kids to go to college. And finally, I'm pro-life, and I'll do everything I can to roll back this disgusting abortion bill. So we can do those things and still win the 44% of unaffiliated voters. And here's the simple message to them. I trust you. As your governor, I will trust you to make good decisions for your business, your life, your family, your kids. I don't need to control your life like Jared Polis is so obsessed with doing.
I'm really happy to hear that your solid statements on these fundamental issues to Republicans. Text message that just rolled in. Randy, thank you for being you. Wonderful show. Keep fighting. Your guest, Heidi, is right. If things don't change in Colorado, oh my. Encourage the Republicans to stick together. Tell her I am unaffiliated and leaning towards her come November. Be blessed. Janet, so many Republicans and Republican consultants and advisors, and, you know, I'm on the RNC, so I'm involved with more of these folks than I ever probably wanted to be. But they think that this mass of unaffiliated are people with whom we have to stay away from these fundamental issues. So many of the unaffiliated are people who are conservative and Republican and walked away from the Republican Party because of their disgust with a party that did not stand up for the Republican platform and Republican values. I think capturing that energy is crucial as we take on Jared Polis and the destruction of Colorado.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we're running a different race. We are, you know, it hasn't worked for a while other than, you know, I did not win statewide, but we've got to run a very different race right now. And that's reaching out to people who aren't typically involved in politics, but are upset about what's happening to their kids or their small business or their farm or their ranch. And we've got to give them hope and inspire them with big, bold ideas to solve a lot of these very difficult and complicated problems. But they're not unsolvable, Randy. We can cancel our sanctuary status and help address the fentanyl that's coming across our border. We can crack down on crime and keep bad guys in jail and get our streets safe again. We can clean up homelessness in downtown Denver and go enjoy a Rockies game. And we can make it affordable to live here again by reducing red tape and going to 0% income tax and cutting the gas tax in half. That's another thing I'd like to do because we can still fix our roads. There's plenty of money to do that.
Well, it's going to be an interesting couple of months, and then what a run-up between the end of the primary election season and into the general election. I just am so pulling for people who have the courage and are willing to take the time to, you know, put their lives on hold and their past and their presence on display and get into these battles. And so I want to thank you for being one of the many and just wish you good luck. So good to have you on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. I hope you'll come back. And I encourage everybody to check out the amazing amount of money Jared has raised by simply going to Heidi for Colorado and then dig into the website a bit and find out more about this candidate. You're welcome back anytime. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Randy. I'd love to come back anytime. And I appreciate all that you do as well. We're in this together and we can absolutely win this fall. I'm excited and I think we have to work together, but it's totally doable. So let's do this together.
God bless. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. It's Heidi Ganahl, HeidiForColorado.com. All right. We're going to pause here. I just found out that we have an opportunity. This is just so important. I will not be here next week. Matt Dunn will have the show. It's Mother's Day weekend, as you know. And I've got, since my mom passed away, my two favorite moms are my wife and my daughter. the mother of two of my three grandbabies. And so we're going to go up as a family into what us natives call the hills and spend the weekend up there and celebrate moms and expose our babies to our beautiful mountains. And so when I heard from this particular next guest, I just thought we've got to squeeze her in since we can't get her on next week before Mother's Day. We're going to be joined when we come back by a woman by the name of Marina Hoffman. She's a professor at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Florida. She's an expert on women in the Bible, and she's president of one of my favorite organizations, hung out with some of these ladies in at CPAC, Moms for America. Her group is in Palm Beach County, and she's got inspiring examples of mothers from the Bible and so much more. We'll spend some minutes with her on the other side. I hope you'll stay with us as we wrap up this edition of Wake Up with Randy Corporan right here on 710 KNUS. Oh, it figures. We've got a last bumper music. Has to be Eddie Money, the guy who hit on my girlfriend in Wisconsin when I was just a very hormonal, I don't know, 16 maybe? 16-year-old. I always loved Eddie Money's music. It was kind of an interesting evening, I will say that. But so good to have you back. Final segment of the show, and I am convinced from all the text messages, the calls, and the emails, I will go ahead and extend the invitation back to Dick Wadhams and accept his terms and see if he'll come in for an hour, just the two of us, no calls, no texts, or whatever. That's the way he wants it. Let's see if he will back that up. We shall see. You know, this show's been just all over the place. We spoke with Heidi Ganahl. We had Congressman Ken Buck. Heidi Ganahl running a campaign for governor here in Colorado. Derek Wilburn. Dr. Naomi Wolf with this horrific information that's been disclosed about what's happening to pregnant women in our military who've been forced to take the vaccine and just so many things. And given the fact that I will not be here next week, we're taking the time off from 7 days a week law practice and the radio show on Saturday. My work is Republican National Committee man to celebrate moms. This will be my second year without my mom. And but I'm going up in the hills with my two now favorite moms, my wife and my daughter, and our grandbabies to celebrate Mother's Day. And this, you get a lot of emails when you do radio. Hey, I'd love to come on the show. Here's my thing. And you look at them. Yeah, we'll try and do that sometime. This one really hit my heart. It's an email from a woman, Dr. Marina Hoffman Willard. She's an author. She's a member of Moms for America in Palm Beach, the president, in fact, of that chapter. We've had Moms for America folks on here before, but she is an expert on women in the Bible, and she's got some wonderful Mother's Day stories, including a story of her own that I thought would be just a wonderful, loving, and gentle way to ease out of what's been a very intense show today. So happy to welcome Dr. Willard in. Ma'am, I'm sorry we haven't met, but I'm sure happy to introduce you to our audience. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Randy. As you said, you had a full show today, so I'm so honored that you are having me as well, and it's great to be with you and all your listeners.
Well, you know, I'm so much a political show, and quite often God gets left on the back burner when you get into the fiery day-to-day politics that's going on, and I was just touched by your email, and I won't be here next week to have you on just before Mother's Day, so it seemed wonderful. Let's jump in. Give folks a real short biography, and then let's tell some stories.
Yeah, well, you mentioned my own little story. It's true. I went through a lot of trauma 8 years ago when I was hit head-on at a high speed on the highway from another car. We should have died in that split second, but my husband and I survived. But Randy, they said I could never have children. It was 0% chance. And yet God made a way with about 2 years of recovery and healing. And sure enough, eventually I had a little baby girl, and she is sure the joy of my life.
That is so wonderful. And it's interesting because according to my parents, my mom was not supposed to be able to conceive either. In fact, they adopted my now deceased big brother. He died in a car crash 40 years ago on May 2nd, but they adopted him because they didn't think they could have children. And then about 4 years later, I popped up. So God really does. Well, I hope I'm a blessing. I hope I was a blessing to them, but God does bring blessings into the world. And
yeah.
Gosh, I'm glad you've got your 3-year-old daughter. What a horrible thing. And so congratulations for that. Now you've written a book, Women in the Bible. You do a small group Bible study, I guess. This has been a focus of your doctorate and your educational work. But today we're talking about Mother's Day and stories of moms from the Bible. So where do you want to start?
Oh, sure. And, you know, I think it's so fitting because your show is political, and yet I've become political in the last 2 years, and it's something that was beyond any thought I had, Randy. But when I look at the moms in the Bible, they do incredible things, and they have courage. And yet what they accomplish is really in the ordinary. They do ordinary things, but God uses that to accomplish something great. So that's my inspiration in the Bible. And when I look at the mothers of the Bible, I see the same thing. And we can talk about Hannah or Mary or one of the other moms, but it's amazing how women in the Bible, especially moms, are willing to stand up for what's right. And through that, many times they save an entire generation of people. I think that's a call to us too, Randy.
Well, it is fabulous. You can draw an awful lot out of, you know, sort of God's view of women by the way the women of the Bible are portrayed and the impact that they've made. You know, it's always men throughout, you know, most of ancient history, the leaders, the warriors, the fighters. And yet without good women, even our own founding, you know, the wife of John Adams, it was probably the sole reason that he maintained the courage and the fortitude that he did. But we've got about, I don't know, 6 minutes or so. So tell the story that you think will have the most impact as we head into Mother's Day a week from Sunday.
Sure. You talk about John Adams' mom. Let me talk about Hannah, because a lot of people will know the leader in the Old Testament called Samuel. He was a great leader, transitioned the nation from a bunch of judges and city-states really to the monarchy that prepared the way for David. And what kind of mom did he have? He had the mom who exhibited the very leadership qualities he did. And like his mom, both of them encountered all kinds of challenges. And I look at Hannah, and she also was infertile. And what did she do? She never gave up. She took her need to God in prayer, and she earnestly poured out her heart. And then the Bible has this great verse, Randy. It says she got up, ate, went on her way, and her face was no longer downcast. And the incredible inspiration to me is that she was able to hold her head high and not live in a state of sorrow even before God could have possibly answered her prayer, because all she did was pray in the temple. So what an inspiration to me to take our challenges to God, to pray, to leave it with the Lord, and then to walk boldly in whatever God calls us to do.
Sound, I can certainly understand why, you know, Hannah would be the your first choice given your own experience. Your 3-year-old daughter's name is Willow. At this young age, are there certain ways that you're exposing her to the power and the importance of women in the biblical story?
Oh, yes, absolutely. She knows the stories. And, you know, Randy, the most important thing I can do to raise a child who cares about faith is to make faith part of our regular life. So we try our best. And it's hard in this world. We try our best to have you know, anything that she watches on television or so is something that corresponds to our values, and also to pray together and to just talk about God all the time. I'll share a little story. We went into a store. She wanted a chair. I said, if you buy this, you can't get the rocking chair you want. She said, well, Mom, I'll just pray for the rocking chair. So we left without buying anything. I told her it could be months because there's only a small thrift store here. The next thrift store we went in, Randy, there it was sitting immediately when you opened the door. Can you believe it? And she screamed out, and everybody looked. And sure enough, my little girl says, Mom, God answered our prayer. And so just those little ways that we can bring faith into the family, no matter what their age, and try to guide them toward a relationship with God.
I don't want to run out of time. You've done a video, Women in the Bible series. You've got a book out as well. How do people connect with your work?
Okay, thank you. So if Women in the Bible is an inspiration you want for people in your life, especially our daughters who need this, and our sons who we want to have respect and honor to women, then you can look me up on womeninthebible.info. There's a free video series. No need to give any of your information to watch it. And if you want my book, it's about $13 on Amazon. It's called Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Study. It talks about the women that are so important and bridges to today through questions that help us think about the things we can learn from their life and model it in our own.
When I was at CPAC a few weeks ago, I met a couple of very powerful women, one former Miss Florida who has given up. She was actually a two-termer because of the CCP virus. And she's given up, you know, walked away from pageantry, and with her charisma and everything, you know, she could likely go to Hollywood or whatever to devote her life to empowering women. There was her partner there, her friend there, Hope Harvard, who's put together a cosmetics line to help, you know, remind girls and women about their natural beauty and expressing their beauty in powerful and natural ways. As a new mom of a miracle baby, given the fact that you weren't supposed to be able to have kids, and as we wrap up the show here today and head into Mother's Day, what is your best advice for moms in trying to raise moms and dads in trying to raise up strong and godly young girls?
Yeah, these are the hardest times I can ever think of living through. Certainly so many challenges we face, and I know you address them regularly, and there are practical things we can do. But Randy, for me in my life, it all comes down to trusting God and to every day, yet again, commit that day, ask God to form me as the with the character that I can be the best mom to Willow, and then just trust that God is on our side and walking with us and that the Lord will make it happen. And I think if we can live by faith, it takes so much of the burden, the depression, the anxiety, the fear that is around us, it lifts it off of us and just gives it to God. And then just, I think moms need to trust their instinct. And I was impacted when someone told me, God has given us a God instinct as moms. So we have a mom instinct, we have an instinct from the Lord, and we can trust that. And if there's a voice inside of us saying, no, slow down, stop, this is not good, I think we can trust that voice, listen to it, and pray for God's wisdom.
Superb. Dr. Marina Hoffman, the website womeninthebible.info, womeninthebible.info. Good to get to know you. Well, let's circle back and talk again sometime soon. Really appreciate your time. Happy Mother's Day coming up to you and your miracle baby as well.
Thank you, and God bless you to all your listeners today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I don't know. It just felt right to end on a softer note. And, you know, we had Heidi Gnall, gubernatorial candidate. They put all the cell phones into bags when she was in to see Joe Rogan at the theater last night. And, man, I can't tell you the times I see you take the grandbabies out to these play places. And I probably do it myself, although I try to be aware when they're around me to not be in my phone. But I'll see people, parents, on their phone taking care of business. Their kids are clamoring around them, their knees. Look at me. You know, pay attention. Boy, oh boy, if you've got one-on-one time with your kids or your grandkids, let's turn off the hardware. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that just like the most basic of starting points? It feels like it to me. I'm so sorry I won't be here next week to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day, to remind you about the Arapaho Tea Party. Arapaho Tea Party will be coming up the second Tuesday in May at the South Metro Fire Rescue Building. What day will that be? 1, 2, 3. I guess that'll be May the 10th. I'll ask Dr. Dunn, who's filling in next week, to remind you about that. We'll get out the regular email. We'll put up the Eventbrite. Really blew it last month when I was sick. But to make sure, I think we're going to show the entire 42-minute documentary, Rigged 2020. So important for people to see. As well as Dinesh D'Souza. I guess he'll be on with George Brockler at 7 on Monday. It's critical that you tune in. George is a skeptic. Let's see how he and Dinesh interact. And be sure and check out that movie. You can find out all the details at 710KNUS.com. I'm convinced only one caller said shouldn't invite Dick back on. We'll see if he's willing. I will just accept his terms one-on-one with Dick Wadhams. We'll see how that plays out. And most importantly, always remember, please never, ever forget. I'm Randy Corcoran. God loves you. So do I. Never forget this part.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.